This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Please stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for information on ordering tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon. Thank you for listening, and please tune in for worship with us every Sunday on this station.
Experience teaches us the great value of having strong families. For it is in these family circles that people are bonded together, and these bonds often last for a lifetime. There is another family that I'd like to visit with you about today in the sermon, and that is called the family of God. Do you know anything about that? Listen. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, we thank you for the families that you have given to us, a father and a mother, brothers and sisters. We thank you, O God, that blessings flow our way as we help one another. We ask, O God, that your presence may be felt in the families of our churches and our land, and that nothing may break them apart. But, O God, we know that that is not really happening. They are smashed in some cases. And so it is that families need your presence. Grant them grace today, O Lord, that something might happen to catch their ear, that they may know that it is only in Christ that there is a family even greater than the human family, the family of God. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Friends in Christ, experience has taught us through the years the values of strong families. It is in these family circles that bonds are being built among the fathers and the mothers and the children and the brothers and the sisters and others who may be a part of that group. Those bonds often last for a long time. And we'll hear people say, I remember the strength of my father, the loving care of my mother. I learned there how to treat one another and to be responsible people in community and church and other parts of our lives. Those are precious blessings that perhaps can come to us in no other place better than in the family. Now, there are other families, too. For example, there's a college family. You spend 4 years on a campus, and there are a group of people that you get to know better than others, and you finally say, well, they were a little family away from home. And you can correspond with them, or you perhaps even take a trip to see them, or you have a reunion together. There are such families also as far as work is concerned. You talk about the family in your office where you truly love one another. There is a church family where we belong to a particular congregation and we love to come together. It's a part of the worship on a Sunday morning to see our friends around the coffee pot in the church. Families are very, very important. None knew it any better than God Almighty. And so today I would like to visit about another family which the writer of the book of Hebrews talks to us about. It is called, in my case, the family of God. You read about this family in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, beginning with verse 10. This is a laborious part of Scripture, perhaps, but let me read it for you quickly. In bringing many sons to glory, that is, in binding us together to get us to heaven, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. The reference is to Jesus. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call you and me, if we are believers in him, the children of God, brothers. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises, the psalmist wrote. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given to me. The psalmist telling us that God talks about a group of children who has been given to him by the Father. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, that's Jesus, in order that he might become a merciful and a faithful high priest in the service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the beginning of this family of God. Now, let's try to smooth this out a little bit if we can. God's intention or will was that his children who he had created would be a part of the family of God. We hear people say once in a while, referring to all people in this world, we are all the children of God. In other words, we are one great big family. And in one sense of the word, this is correct. It is correct insofar as he is a creator of all of us. No one has come without being created by Almighty God. But when we talk about it in the biblical sense of the word, those who are part of the family of God, the children of God, are those who by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, claim him as their Savior and their Redeemer. He has redeemed them from their sins. They are his, and he has ushered us into a particular family. And this is called the family of God. Now, God here says that this was his intentional will, that all could be in this one great redemptive family. But because many people have walked away and do not want to have any more to do with God and turn their back on him and don't feel that they need this family of God, they walk their own way. And yet Christ comes and continues to work with everyone who is on the face of this earth today. He works with them primarily through the Word of God as it is carried to the far corners of the earth. He came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. His purpose was to build the family of God. And Scripture refers to Jesus as the pioneer of the new family. He was setting up a family through which people could be invited, and there they could live and walk with him on this earth in human form, just as he was in human form. And he went through some of the difficulties that we go through. In fact, all of them, we could say. He learned the power of sin, for Jesus too was tempted, but he did not fall. He knows what it is to really be tempted by the devil. He was taken out into the wilderness and for 40 days went through some very intensive tempting. He was tempted sometimes in places where we would least think of it, in Pilate's court, lashing out at this person because of the injustice that he was experiencing. As true man, don't you think God had also permitted Jesus to be tempted there? And so he saw that something had to be done inside of a human being, that when temptation came to him or to her, he or she would be able to say, no, by the grace of God, no. He understood what you and I are going through when we are tempted. He understood the fears that are found within our soul, the fears of facing life and all of its trials and temptations, the frustrations that go on every day as a part of living. And how can I have strength to really endure these frustrations? He understands this because he has gone through these very frustrations himself. And yet, when he went through them, he never once fell. He is really the God incarnate, the God who has become man, the God who has not isolated himself from you and from me, but is able to walk with us all the way. I think later on in this book of Hebrews, you have a verse or two here that really summarizes what I have tried to say to you. Here in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, verses 14 to 16, we read, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firm to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us just in our time of need." All of this leads then to what a glorious thing it must be to be a part of the family of God. And I want to say to you today, by his grace, I have experienced living as a part of the family of God. Jesus tells us then how it is that we can have that assurance that we are a part of the family of God. For one day there was a person who came to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. And he wanted to know how we could enter into the kingdom. He paid Jesus great compliments that he was the greatest rabbi he had ever seen. Let me give you a little bit of that conversation. It's found in the third chapter, very familiar. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And so we have this particular statement, "We're born again." It means that the natural man does not come in to the kingdom of God on his own. He becomes a part of the family of God through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here today in this particular sermon, we're not talking at length on being born again, for there is some discussion regarding how this all happens. But let us simply say that it comes to the place in our life, however we got there, where we say, "Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. Come in. I want to trust you. I want to walk with you. I want you there when I breathe my last breath." When we have experienced that, friend, we have entered into a whole new world, and that world becomes very large. I talk about the human family. I came from a very small family. I was an only child. It often bothered me, and my mother and father knew it, but so be it. That's the way that it was, and that's the way it ended. I am an only child. I would sometimes go to the homes of our neighbors where they would have a lot of children. And once in a while, my mother would say, "Why do you always want to go over there? Why don't you come here?" And I don't believe that I ever did, but I felt like saying, "Here, it's so lonesome. Over there, there are so many kids." And that was where it ended. But I made a vow to myself that one day when I was married, with the good wishes and the good graces of my wife, we would never raise just one child. And so we had three children. And today that has multiplied into a family of 15. And we're all together at Christmas time. They came from far distances, from Wisconsin, California, Boston, Arizona, Minnesota, England, and Iowa. What a great time we had. The blessings which come from strong families could be attested to there. I pray you had a wonderful Christmas like that too. You see, when you are a part of the family of God, it even exceeds being a part of the human family. For suddenly our eyes are open and we realize what a mass of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ we have around this old world. They don't believe what I believe in every last thing. They are in different denominations who may hold doctrines that are very near and dear to them. But I believe with all my heart that if we are agreed in the basics, that we are created in the image of God, that we have fallen in sin and are separated from Him, that Jesus Christ has come, true God, Son of the Father, into this world to suffer and to die on a cross as a payment for our sin. And if by the power of the Holy Spirit we have received Him into our lives, then we are a part of the family of God, and nothing can separate us as long as we live in that union with Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior and Lord. Again, we love our families. Be they the family at home, the family at the office, the family at the church. And may I make a distinction here? We talk about a church family, and thank God for the church family. But the church family is not the same as the family of God. For there are many people, without a doubt, in your church who yet have to receive Christ as their Savior and Lord. They have joined the church for various reasons, and we thank God that they have, and I may be speaking to some of you today. But it is only when you have come to faith in Christ in a personal way that you are a part of the family of God. This is what it's all about. We meet these brothers and sisters around the world. Let me give you an illustration. We have a grandson who, after graduating from college, chose not to continue into another professional school, at least for the time being, but to move south and be freed from the blustery Iowa winters, such as we are experiencing right now. Recently, I asked him if he did not miss his family because he was glorying in all the great things in his new location. Immediately, he replied as if he had been offensive to me, "Of course I do, Grandpa. I love you. You mean everything to me. It is not that I have cut you off from my thinking. You're in my mind all the time, my family. I receive so many blessings from my family." But let me tell you something. I am in contact with my family through email and phone several times a week. But what takes that place? When we're not together like that, we have been, not physically together. I have met some very good friends in a wonderful church. In fact, I have to say that because I work long hours, the only friends that I have, are found in the church. I go to church Sunday morning. I go to church Sunday night. I go to Bible study on Wednesday night, and here I have met these brothers and sisters in Christ. See how His world has opened? I have got brothers and sisters in Arizona who are equal to my brothers and sisters in Iowa because we're part of the family of God. And this takes nothing away from the human family. People, today I'd like to leave you with that thought and ask you the question, in Christ, do you belong to the family of God? Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come to be the pioneer of the greatest family that we can belong to at any time, the family of God. You as our Father, the Holy Spirit walking with us to guide us and to protect us and to help us. Oh God, we thank you for our human families, but above all, we thank you for the family of God. In his name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon has brought you peace and joy. Estate gifts, both large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your prayerful and financial support. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can spread the light of the gospel so that no one walks in darkness. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available by writing to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Conducting today's service was our radio speaker, Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.